Blessed art thou, Lord, teach me thy statutes.
This thy word hath I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee.
I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches.
I have meditated in thy precepts, and have strengthened thee in thy ways.
I will delight myself in thy statutes, I will not forget thy word.
Thy hands have made thee compassion me, give me understanding, that I may learn of thy commandments.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Thy testimonies that I gave and have heard is forever, for they are rejoicing in my heart.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Let the man of God give you the word, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
May God give his blessing to the reading of his word, shall we bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this hour, for the opportunity of coming to worship. We pray that thy Spirit may guide and direct us, and cause thy face to shine upon us, that we might be enriched and might gather some truth that will help us to be more like Jesus in the days ahead. We pray now that you would guide and direct all that we shall do this hour, and bless our church in the days ahead, that we might be led by thy Spirit to glorify our Lord Jesus. In his name we ask it and pray. Amen. You will notice in your bulletins the opportunities that you have for the days ahead this week. The Norfolk Baptist Association meeting on Thursday at 9 o'clock, Raleigh Heights Baptist Church, right down the street here at Peace. I don't think that you'll have much trouble finding that. And we would like to have good attendance. And I think they will serve lunch that day. So you plan to attend and be there and be a part of that meeting. I think that it will be profitable for you. And then let us remember to continue our Love in Action program, which has been going, and we have been reminded of every March day for the past 8 weeks, 6 weeks or so, and this has been real helpful, and we hope that you will participate in this. And then remember, on Wednesday night at 7:30, the hour of prayer. So we have many opportunities to share, and the other privileges that will be yours for the Lord's work. And I hope that you will take part in these. Now we're delighted to see you present with us tonight and to come and share with us on the ground floor. We are building a new foundation. This morning we found out that the furnace had sort of, I really haven't checked it out. I'm just taking other people's word for it. And they said that there was about a foot of water down there, and the boiler was leaking, and so on, which I knew, and we had been thinking that very shortly we would have to replace that piece of equipment. So it looks like we didn't have any choice. It looks like it's going to be made for us, and we and some of the rest of them will be working on this tomorrow, I'm sure, to get some word as to what we can do about it. So, as for the time being, though, we'll be meeting here. And that goes for Wednesday night, and it goes for next Sunday, if things are not just right over there, because we know that we don't want anyone to get the flu or the cold or pneumonia. So that's all the team we can support it and do our best to be here and take part in these things, because this is real nice. This morning, I shook hands with a lot of them. I said, we're letting you out on the ground floor. And some of the others, they really like that. So you have to climb down steps for the Yell Cat. So let us turn down our hymnals. 181. 181. And see what this has to say to me. 181.
Thank you.
has blessed us with for the days past. And we thank thee now, Father, for the offerings which will be received. Bless them, we pray, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Six flashes of insight
lady in Frankfort, Kentucky, one night got up in the dark, without, by the moonlight, without lighting the lamp, get a drink of water, and picked up a dipper of water and swallowed the water, not knowing that she had swallowed a little spider that had dropped down during the night, and it rolled up the size of a little bee. And in a few moments she was sick and nauseated and was able to extricate the spider, but not before she had been bitten and was seriously ill and had to go, and the doctors worked on her for hours because of the swelling in her ears, her tongue, and her body because of that poison. They finally found something that would remedy the poison. But in exact manner, there is something that comes into your life, into my life, that is called sin. And it may poison the entire system or nature of the individual. The next time you are tempted to say, "Oh, I'm not so bad," remember that we read in the New Testament that all unrighteousness is a sin. All that is unrighteous is a sin. It is not the bigness of the sin or the multitude of sins. It is the poison of sin, the very principle of it, that brings rebellion and disobedience to God in our lives. In the book of James, we read two warnings. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and shall offend in one point is guilty of all. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James 2:10 and 4:17. Now this helps us to get some insight into this one passage of Scripture. What do you think of Jesus? What do I think of Jesus in the secret place of my heart? And there is a fellowship that reaches across every barrier. Men and women put their faith in Jesus Christ, and they're changed. There is wonder in this, what he does, what he will do, and what he can do in the human life. And he says here something about the redemption, the godliness in verse 16. Paul is now in old age, and he has followed Jesus Christ, and he says this word of godliness represents all that God can do for man, and the redemption reveals to man that they have been chosen of him. Here is an insight, and Paul calls it a mystery which was once obscure, but he says now it is made known in Christ Jesus. For some time it had been a mystery in the Old Testament, but here is a contest between heaven and between hell. And he comes and says, here is a mystery between the agreement of Jesus on life. Now, he says, there is no controversy at this point. Jesus says, I can do all of this. All things are possible because I can do this. The atonement was for sin. And there is the resurrection of the dead. which is brought about in faith. And here is the crisis as Paul presents it to us. In fact, this part of the Bible is a wonderful hymn which they use to sing. And Paul is telling Timothy to be in charge of the church at Ephesus. And he is telling them things that are fundamental here. In verse 15, he says that the church is the pillar of truth, as he declares it to be a proof agreement. We wonder what Paul really meant. And he says, here is a mystery, as something we do not know. We cannot quite see through. And yet Paul had a favorite word, and it was mystery. How that is revealed in Christ, and the doctrine of Christianity, and the mystery of it, cannot be found out of reason. And this mystery has been now revealed. In the Cambridge Bible, it reads like this. Who in flesh was manifested, pure in spirit was his test, by angels' visions witnessed, among the nations heralded, by faith accepted here and received in glory there. Here we have the six flashes of insight. First, God manifested in the flesh. You cannot say this about any other individual. You cannot say this about any other religious leader, that Paul said about Jesus Christ here, Jesus was God in the flesh, and John said that the Word was made flesh, and that proves he was God in John 1:14 and Hebrews 2:14. This is an extreme example of the fact that says that Jesus Christ was not only an example, but how that he knew he was a savior of mankind. Because he was God. He healed the lepers. He gave sight to the blind. And in every peril, he brought forth the truth. And ultimately died on a cross. Jesus Christ was manifest in the flesh. How was that going to be brought about? Matthew and Luke tell us that it was brought about by the virgin birth. That's how he was manifest in the flesh. There have been debates and discussions about that. But what other way could he have come and have been made in the image of God? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Peter said, we have seen, we have handled, and Jesus, who had been pre-existent before this world, before the world was made, Jesus was. Abraham saw his day, and in Christ dwelt all the Godhead of this world. This is of divine direction. Paul says he was manifest in the flesh. Secondly, Paul says he was justified in the spirit. He was made manifest in the flesh, but his human nature was just as our nature. But he was justified in the Spirit, and he was reproached as a sinner. You and I are sinners, but we are unjust. We are not justified, we are unjust. And we are justified By what? By faith. That's how we are justified. And the redeeming work of Jesus Christ on the cross is the work that justifies us. This is a miracle that the world has seen only once and will never see again. Satan came to tempt him and to condemn him. And he was a man of like passion. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He had pain. He suffered. He was lonely. And Jesus altogether was apart from everything else supreme. And so the least shadow on Christ would have disqualified him as our Redeemer. What would you change in the history of Jesus Christ? What word that he spoke would you take back and say that he should not have used? What prayer did he offer that you would say was not a worthy prayer? What did he do that you would have left undone had you been the one supervising Jesus? Jesus stood all the hard tests. I don't think we would blot out anything. Paul says he was justified by the Spirit. This was declared at his baptism. It was that he was declared God's Son at his resurrection, following his death. And he was raised by what? By the Spirit. So Paul said, manifest in the flesh, justified by the Spirit. Number three, he said he was seen of the angels. Now Paul goes on to talk about the redeeming work of Christ. And he relays him to the whole universe. This work was done in the presence of the whole company of heaven. And the whole heavenly world was interested in the mission of Christ. Why, the angels foretold the birth of Christ. They sang over Bethlehem when he was born. The angels strengthened him in the hour of his temptation. The angels came and comforted him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He could have called angels to have protected him, he said, and to have helped him. They were amazing spectators of all that Jesus was accomplishing in redemption. At his birth, they had a song as he came into the world. They were amazed at him on the cross. And they were so amazed on the cross that they sat down at the tomb after it had been sealed and watched over his grave overnight. And the angels were there when he came forth from that grave, and they led him out.